Go ahead and be seated and get your Bible out, whether it's a hard copy of God's Word that's printed or whether or not it is an electronic device. And I want you to open to Isaiah chapter 7. In a moment, I'm going to read verse 14 and verse 15 from Isaiah chapter 7. And then we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read one verse, and that is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Last week, we began a new series of messages called Season of Hope. And we began last week by saying that hope is a promise. And I gave you the background of Isaiah chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but we're not going to go into quite the detail on the historical background. But we are going to move today into this next message that focuses on the reality that hope is a person. So listen to Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. Now, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. May God bless his word as we read it, because we believe it and we trust it. Now, as we talk today about this subject of hope, hope is more than a good thought. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9, we learn that hope really is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah prophesied as God's spokesman that God had promised to give his people a wonderful counselor. And when you look in this passage, God promised to give you and me a wonderful counselor whose name is what? Jesus. And my whole objective today is very straightforward. I want you to trust and obey Jesus as the one who guides and directs and advises every single area of your life. Now, in background, Isaiah was preaching to a very troubled time. As a matter of fact, you may well remember that last week we talked about King Ahaz, who was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, where Jerusalem was the capital. The northern kingdom of Israel had made an alliance with Syria, and they were coming against the southern kingdom because they would not go with them and try to combat the impending doom that was coming from the north called Assyria. And rather than turning to God and trusting in him, they tried to trust in men. As a consequence to that, when Ahaz was receiving counsel from God's prophet Isaiah, rather than turning to God, 2 Kings tells us that Ahaz had turned to the Assyrians and made a secret alliance with them. And rather than trusting in the counsel of God, they were trying to trust in the comfort of an earthly king in his kingdom. And in the midst of that, God sends his prophet Isaiah, and he prophesies about the promised Messiah who would come. And when we get to Isaiah chapter 9 and these verses that we're going to be looking at, look again with me in Isaiah chapter 9, where it says, a child in verse 6 will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. I wish that were happening right now, that Christ had already come again, because right now we need some help in our government. Amen? His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Now, what's interesting is when you go back to Isaiah chapter 7, the Bible says that God was going to give a sign to his people, and the sign was going to be a son. A virgin was going to bear a child. He is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Now, that's why we celebrate Christmas. Christmas is not about the tree, and it's not about the gifts that we give one another. Christmas really is about Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? But when you move from Isaiah chapter 7, and then you go to chapter 9, yes, he speaks in verse 6, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible makes it really clear, the focus here is on this is a gift of grace. In Isaiah 7, the focus was on the son who was a sign. In chapter 9, it is on the gift, which is a gift of grace. God has given us a gift of grace, and this gift is his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you've got all your Christmas shopping done or not. I don't even know if you have a favorite gift that you've ever gotten. My youngest son and his wife and daughter were here this morning in the first service, and I'm glad they're here, but no big deal. What's really the big deal is that my granddaughter's here, right? And her name is Ada, and I have one thing against her already. She doesn't say Papa all the time. She says Nana, and if Vicky comes in the room, I'm like toast. I don't matter. But I'll never forget, she's 15 months old. And it wasn't too many Christmases ago that Josh and Lauren walked in to our house, and we were getting ready to give one another gifts. And Vicky and I opened a gift from them. And inside was this Christmas ornament, and it was a Christmas ornament announcing that they were pregnant with little Ada. Now, at that time, they didn't know if it was going to be Ada or Adam. They didn't know. But I want you to know that, I gave Vicky a nice gift that year. She ain't getting much this year. But that year I gave her a nice gift, and compared to that cheap ornament announcing the birth of a new grandchild, it meant nothing compared to that, right? Because the gift of that child was such a blessing to us. Make sure this year that you remember that the gift of Christ as a gift of God's grace to his people is greater than any gift you can ever receive at any time. Now, when we study this passage, Isaiah is teaching us some powerful things about God at work in our lives. With more than 250 names and titles of the Lord scattered from Genesis to Revelation, Isaiah brings four titles in a tight, concise package that appear nowhere else in the Bible. More names of Messiah are crowded together here than anywhere else in Scripture. Taken together, they encapsulate the totality of the person and the work of Jesus, who he is and what he does. One scholar said it like this: the Messiah's kingdom has answers to the world's confusion. Now, the Bible tells us that God has given us his son as a sign, and Jesus Christ is God's gift of grace. And what does he call him? He calls him a wonderful counselor. Now, what I want to do today is I want to do two things by simply looking at those two words. The first word is the word wonderful, and that word gives us the gift described. In other words, the word wonderful describes for us the gift that God has given to us in Christ. The second word, counselor, and we'll get to that in a moment, is the gift defined. But let's take a moment and look at the gift described. The word wonderful is an amazing word, and it tells us that Jesus is uniquely and exclusively qualified to be the Lord of your life. Jesus is uniquely and exclusively qualified to be the Lord of your life. The word wonderful that's used in this passage is a word that means incomprehensible. And there's two words that I think go along with this idea of incomprehensible. First of all, as God's gift to us, God describes his gift as a miraculous gift. Isaiah chapter 7, a virgin will be with child. It was a miraculous birth. He was born the sinless, perfect Son of the living God. It's miraculous. Wonderful regularly means supernatural. The Bible says at his first coming, he brought words of eternal life. But when Jesus comes again and reigns eternally, he comes again and will rule with perfect wisdom. The birth of the Lord Jesus is miraculous, and the wonder of who he is a miracle, a supernatural reality of God becoming flesh. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. I think sometimes we get in awe of a lot of things. If a celebrity walks in, people go, hoo, hoo, hoo. Or maybe it's a famous musician or a famous actor or an athlete, and people just, they want to get the, you know, it's a selfie time and all this kind of thing, and they get all excited about that. But the fact of the matter is, we ought to be in absolute wonder and awe of the gift of the person of Jesus Christ. He is uniquely and exclusively capable and worthy of being the Lord over every single area of your life. Miraculous. But it also carries with it the idea of marvelous. The word wonderful primarily describes the Lord as extraordinary. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord announced the birth of Isaac to the aging Abraham and Sarah. And when Sarah laughed in her heart, you may well remember the story, the Lord, knowing she laughed, said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And the word hard in Genesis chapter 18 is like this word wonderful. It says to us, there is nothing too hard for God. He is wonderful. Is anything too marvelous, too wonderful, too extraordinary for the Lord? David, when he meditated on the knowledge of the Lord, came to realize that God knew everything about him, his thoughts, his intentions, even the words that he would say. And all of it is summarized in Psalm 139 when he marvels, "Such knowledge is too wonderful." It's marvelous for me. When Manoah had an angel appear to him, Manoah asked the angel, "What's your name?" The angel of the Lord said, "Why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful?" What I'm trying to communicate to you is this. In the prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7, the son who is given as a sign, and in Isaiah chapter 9, the gift that is a gift of grace is a person. The gift of hope is bound up in a person, and the person is Jesus Christ, and he is described as miraculous, and he is described as marvelous, and every single one of us should stand in absolute awe of the greatness of our God who has revealed him. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen" who? The Father. He's miraculous and he's marvelous. The gift described. But then he defines the gift when he says counselor. The word counselor means one who plans. In ancient Israel, a counselor was portrayed as a king, a wise king, such as Solomon, giving guidance to his people. In Isaiah chapter 28, and again in verse 19, Isaiah uses this word to describe the Lord. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. So not only does he describe the gift that is given, and he says Jesus is uniquely and exclusively qualified to be the Lord of your life, but he also defines the gift, and here's what he says. Jesus is God's gift to you, and he provides guidance that leads to life both abundant and everlasting. So if you want life abundant and if you want life everlasting, then you need to go to the one whose counsel is wonderful. You need to go to the one who is marvelous. You need to go to the one who is miraculous. You know, everybody likes to get advice from their dad most of the time. My dad died in 2006 and I still miss him. And I would call my dad on every imaginable thing to get his advice. Anybody else in here do that? Do you call your dad? And my dad, there were three things that my dad always said to me, son, don't skimp on these things. You buy the best. You get good stuff. And they were tools. He said, don't buy cheap tools. The second thing was tires. Don't buy cheap tires. And the third thing was, don't buy cheap mattresses. Now, I don't have any idea how those three connect, but tires, tools, and mattresses, my dad really cared about. And I always knew that if I was going to get advice from my dad about tires, even though I called him all the time, I knew what he was going to say. Son, buy Michelin. Don't get anything else but Michelin. So right now on my truck, guess what kind of tires are on my truck? Michelin. That's exactly right. And I loved getting advice from my dad. But my dad's dead. I can't call him on the phone. I can't text him or go see him. But I'll tell you what the scripture does say. The scripture says that our Father in heaven is never absent. He is always available to us, and we always have access to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the question becomes, if Jesus Christ is uniquely and exclusively the one who is worthy of being Lord over every area of our lives, and if Jesus, who is so wonderful, is willing to be a counselor, one who advises us and guides us and directs us, then the question becomes, how does Jesus do this? Well, the first thing is, Jesus gives us advice you can trust. He doesn't give us advice that you go away and go, well, you know, that sounds pretty good, but I'm not sure I can trust that. No, the Bible tells us in John 7, when people heard Jesus speak in verse 46, the officer said, never has a man spoken the way this man speaks. In John 14, in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. God gives us his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the word that we have in the Bible is God breathed. It is God's word to us. God advises us with truth that we can trust. That's why the scripture says in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It's why the psalmist says in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. It's why Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness. And so every time you need advice, yes, you go to the Lord, and we're going to see that in a moment, but Jesus gives us advice that we can trust, and God has given us his word that is trustworthy. And one of the greatest challenges that you and I have, we open the Bible and we read the word of God, and what we often say is, well, that sounds good for someone else. Have you ever said to your parents, boy, I wished I'd listened to your advice the first time? You ever say that? I want to promise you something. You will never be disappointed in obeying God's advice in his word. He advises us with truth that you can trust. But not only that, he is your counselor in that he not only advises you with truth you can trust, but he advises you personally. You ask the question, well, how does God advise me personally? Well, the very first way he does that is the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He shepherds his sheep. In John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit. In Psalm, verse 7 and 8 from Psalm 16, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my conscience instructs me. I keep the Lord in mind always. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So God gives us his word, and he gives us the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if you have not the Holy Spirit, then you don't belong to Christ. In Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us that the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of the living God. And what that means is that when you need advice, you go to God's Word and you can trust that God has deposited in your life the convicting power and work of the Holy Spirit that will lead you into understanding this truth, and he will guide you if you will let him advise you in your life. He'll guide you personally through the indwelling Holy Spirit. James 3:17 says, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, accommodating, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and not hypocritical. How's God going to guide me? With his truth, with the indwelling Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you how else God guides you personally. He guides you through prayer. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. Jeremiah 33, 3 says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things, things that you have never seen before. So you say, Daryl, I want God's counsel in my life. I want God to speak truth into my life. I want God to lead me. How is he going to do that? He's going to do it in his word. He's going to guide you personally through the indwelling Spirit. But he also has given us the gift of prayer. Oftentimes, we're very quick when we need advice. I'm going to run ask this person. I'm going to go ask that person. I'm going to go ask this person. But there are those times that we just need to go to God. You know, there are people that I trust their walk with God. I trust their prayer life with God, and I need their input into my life. There's no one in this world that I'd rather pray with or have pray for me than my wife. When my wife prays, it's a powerful moment for me. We pray together regularly. I encourage you, if you don't pray with your wife every day, you need to pray with your wife every day. You pray for her and ask her to pray as well if she feels led to do so. But there have been many times that I've gone to my wife asking her what she thinks about something, getting her input and advice at times, and the very first thing that she'll say to me is this, have you asked the Lord what he wants you to do? Prayer. God will guide you and advise you with his truth. And God will guide you and advise you personally through the indwelling Holy Spirit and through this wonderful blessing and gift of prayer. But I'll tell you how else God guides you. He gives you his church. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. In Proverbs 12, 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. One scholar by the name of Mark Dever, a pastor up in Washington, says, it's impossible to answer the question, what is a Christian, without ending up in a conversation about the church. At least in the Bible it is. When a person becomes a Christian, he doesn't join a local church because it's a good habit for growing spiritually. He joins a local church because it's the expression of what Christ has made him, a member of the body of Christ. So when you say, Daryl, I want God to guide my life. I want the counsel of the Lord in my heart. I want to do the things that God is leading me to do. God gives us His Word. He gives us the indwelling Holy Spirit. We pray and we seek the face of God. But God also brings around us godly people who can confirm that we are walking in obedience to this truth. Most of us, most of the time, whenever we're looking for advice, we go find people that we know will agree with us whether or not what we're wanting to know is walking in obedience to Christ. You want to follow God? You want God to guide your life? Then you go find godly people that when they speak truth to you, they're going to speak truth from God's Word, and they're going to love you enough to speak the truth in love. You agree with that? He is a wonderful counselor. Hope is not a phrase. Hope is a person. And His name is Jesus. One of my friends made this statement, and I thought it was so good, I wrote it down. Many people today want Jesus to be their life coach, not their Lord. Listen to Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye upon you. This Christmas, I know that my kids will give me a gift. And, you know, It's great. I don't ever want my kids to give me anything. Just bring my grandkids. That's all that matters. But they'll give me a gift, and just suppose that my son hands me a box, and he's wrapped it up, and he's smiling, and he's excited because he's given his dad something that he really thought about and he wanted his dad to have, and he's pretty pumped up about giving him a gift. And suppose that we're sitting there in our living room and my son says, Dad, I really thought about this and I got this for you and I want you to open this gift. And I take that gift and I just kind of set it aside as if I'm indifferent to it and move on to something else. Could you imagine how my son would feel? Hurt, wounded, unappreciated. God says, I have something for you. In Isaiah 7, I'm going to give you a sign. A son will be born. A son will be given. A virgin will be with child. In Isaiah chapter 9, I want you to listen in the context of Ahaz. Ahaz was a rebellious, ungodly, idolatrous king over the southern kingdom of Israel, and God said to him, I want to help you, but you got to come to me. And Ahaz looked at the prophet Isaiah and said, I'm not going to ask God for anything. I don't want a sign. And in Isaiah chapter 9, God said, I'm going to give you a gift. A gift to the nation of Israel. A gift of grace. And he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. So the question is this morning, God offers freely that whoever believes in Jesus turns from their sin and trust His saving work on the cross and the power of His resurrection can be forgiven and have life everlasting. And the question is, are you going to turn away from God's wonderful gift? You say, Daryl, I am a Christian. I know Christ. I've received the gift of salvation. But the objective today is not that you just know that you're saved, but it's that you walk out that salvation in obedience by surrendering and trusting Christ every single day as Lord over every area of your life, because the advice He gives is good. Would you stand this morning? In a moment, we're going to sing, but I'm going to pray. And whether you're online or here in person, here's what I long for in your life. I want you to embrace God's promise of hope in the person of Jesus Christ, so much so that you trust and obey Him as Lord over every single area of life. Maybe you're watching online or you're in this room and you want to text, email, or call us and say, I just need to talk with a pastor. Maybe you're like the young man in the first service who came from over here and he just ran up to me, and last week he trusted Christ as his Savior and he came and he said, I want to follow Jesus in baptism. Have you done that? Maybe you've never committed yourself to this church by saying, I'm going to plant my life here. You can text, call, or email, or you can come forward and one of our pastors will be glad to talk with you. But my whole objective today is for you to trust and obey Jesus as Lord over every single area of your life. He's God's gift to you. He is a wonderful counselor. Pray with me. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will have freedom to work, to move, that God, we will not be Ahaz. When given the opportunity to seek God's advice and wisdom, we go our own way. Lord, you are wonderful. You are glorious. You are marvelous. You are miraculous. And so, Lord, we surrender. You alone are our hope. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.